Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Master the discourse. Marked, the social life of stigma. If the world sat down and we stood up, the narrative would shift. Our podcast explores how social discourse shapes our lives. Words carry meaning. By definition, meaning communicates something not directly expressed. Words build a history as they move through time. They become social signals, reinforcing norms. I wish I knew who to credit for what I'm about to read. I feel like it's just spot on. A side note, holistic means not autistic. Here we go. Symptoms of being neurotypical. It would be funny if autistic people started describing the holistic experience in the same pathologized way doctors describe autism. You have frozen hands that do not fidget. You are unbothered by eye contact and enjoy staring into other people's eyeballs. You do not notice patterns in numbers and objects, even when logically connected. You do not mind doing things without planning them out first. You read into phrases past their actual meaning. Instead of saying exactly what you think, you expect others to infer based on subjective social rules. Don't be discouraged if you are neurotypical. If you work hard, you too can be decent at math and accomplish the same things autistic people can. You just need to work with an expert on neurotypicalism to reduce those problem behaviors. Every time you avoid small talk or resist a fashion trend, you'll get a sticker. So will your family. I heart someone with neurotypicalism. You can succeed, despite the entire way your brain works. Now, given our family's experience, I chuckled when I heard this. Let's take it back to the norm, the way autistics are described. Fidgety and can't sit still. Avoid eye contact even when being spoken to. Put items in order and follow patterns. Want specifics before traveling or changing plans. Cannot read unspoken social cues. Are rigid and matter of fact. So is it such a stretch for the norm to change? I mean, that's the joke, but that's the point. So how do we manage words that we don't have a personal experience to provide context? Neurodivergent, neurotypical, neuropsych, autistic, holistic. These words can create confusion in definition and in context. These words can be and often are contorted into illness. This is where stigma breeds. Why do we care? Well, stigma destroys community cohesion. It distorts intentions, it hijacks goals, and it fosters targeted hostility. And so let's explore the word stigma and its use in discourse. Stigma. Stigma by definition. To be seen as having something to be ashamed of, a mark of disgrace. Marks send a signal to society. X on the door for quarantine. Sign here on this contract. Make your mark. A mark of disgrace. So disgrace, that's a weighty one. A fall from grace. To be stigmatized is to have been so disobedient that you've been pushed from the heavens above. This mark becomes your perceived social identity, a stereotype that defines you. Lorelai is neurodivergent. I have a neurological variant. Lorelai is dyslexic. It's a disability. Lorelai is bipolar. It's a mental illness. So which one of these is my label? All of them? None of them? These marks stick. They push you out. They alter you. They demand an extreme amount of resilience. I mean, does society realize that every day I chemically modify my brain to conform to social expectations? Chemically modify is different from require medication. It defines you everywhere. In medical records, diagnostic codes are ripe for assumptions. In school records, difference is flagged for additional review. Pharmacy histories, medication lists have no context. And on doctor's excusal notes, your boss sees psychiatric services. So when do stereotypes become social norms? When do these perceptions become institutional practices? When do practices become policy? Stigma is codified through institutions. Institutions are driven by those unspoken rules about who belongs and who doesn't, and the expectations to conform. Take medicine. The institution values accurate assessments. Providers are trained to use standardized questions to solicit cues that inform treatment protocols. Here's the gap. The conversation structure does not account for those with social anxiety. The barrier compromises the fidelity of the assessment. The patient is left to the provider's interpretation of nonverbal behaviors. Not making eye contact can appear as evasive. Fidgeting looks nervous. Stammering feels like stolen time as providers push on while you're still answering. The framework of the conversation doesn't make space for effective communication. It compromises care, and it compromises institutional integrity. Now, culturally, let's draw a binary. We all value safety. Safety's good. What do we believe is safe? Or better yet, what is unsafe? Mentally ill people are unpredictable, potentially dangerous. How do we act? Cautious, be wary, avoid? A belief that shows up in hiring and employment, healthcare access, policing, incarceration. But it's society that is dangerous. I heard a story from the Reagan era. The government cut community block grants, and suddenly, community centers closed. These were places where people received medical support, their medications, and safe social connections. One day, life is functioning and consistent. The next, no doctors, no pharmacy, and no guidance on where to go next. In New York City, in a weekend, the arrests skyrocketed. 2,000, next weekend, 20,000. The funding change was immediate and without preparation for its effects. Mental illness used to deserve care. Now it deserves confinement. Too many people report their mental illness was first identified in jail. Records to get to recovery. That's a trade-off. So rolling it back to neurodivergence. Neurodivergence doesn't belong to one age group, one perceived gender, or one race. Being neurologically different is not a shameful act worthy of social punishment. What can discourse do? Not speak with pity or politeness, but rather with empathy. Empathy is a social skill. Empathy enables us to identify with others. I mean, to identify inherently means understand, comprehend. Empathy enables us to learn. But empathy, to be empathetic, is to appreciate. Maybe you cannot identify with the neurodivergent experience, but what about in education, IEPs or 504s? In medicine, release of information forms or scheduling delays for time-sensitive care. In insurance, the relentless explanation of benefit notices or pre-authorizations. How about knowing the exact number route to get to the pharmacist about your scripts? What discourse can do is give decision makers the language to find and act on shared interests. This allows contribution and action, and action in shared interest is our social change. Stigma corrodes society. Empathy is our bond. Discourse is our intervention. So what if our new language is? Some kids are physically expressive, while others communicate verbally. Some kids read patterns in numbers, while others read patterns in faces. Some want to plan every step, while others figure it out as they go. And what are they? They are all kids. Just that. Kids. Institutionalize empathy, and together we'll be okay.